All right, what's up, everybody? America Unplugged back. What's going on? We've been absent, but we're here now. We're back. The three pieces that assemble the Voltron that is America Unplugged is here right now. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, Billy the Kid. Greetings and blessings to all of you. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for hanging out. You know the deal. And of course, the usual suspects are here hanging out with us today. Mr. Tony Atterburn, the Wise Wolf. What's going on?
I'm just glad Don's back. We're saying off air, I feel disassociated with reality without having Don's wisdom every week. I was getting used to it. And so I was so glad to be back, Billy. I was wondering, before we get started, the headlines are so strange. And, we're pulling away from the COVID 1984 COVIDian cult narrative to now World War III. I'm wondering if do we get to go through the gift shop on this simulation? Is there like you survive the SPAR simulation, but you might also enjoy, the World War III nuclear holocaust. We'll talk about that.
If you've ever been to one of these large theme parks, like a Disney or a Universal Studios, at the end of the ride, you go right into the gift shop. So are we at the gift shop portion of the coronavirus LARP? I don't know what the fuck to call it anymore. I just have no idea.
I survived the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world, and all I got was this crummy t-shirt.
There you go. Exactly, right? It would seem as if they're abandoning the narrative, but they're kind of not. It's like they want us to believe that they're abandoning the narrative. And in some ways they are. They're like, you're going to live with corona for the rest of your life. They're looking at Pfizer saying we're going to have yearly shots. Now, that's what they're transitioning into. It's the cold now. After Omicron, it's going to be like having the cold. Yeah. So all of a sudden. But then they put up on Drudge. I was just telling you guys, more worrying variants to come. So what are we doing? What are we doing here? Don, you seem like you had something to say. I think you did something with your mouth there. So you go ahead, and then we're going to go to Tony. What's up?
Well, yeah, and I think we'll have to see. And of course, I know Tony wants to talk about the Ukraine and everything. But I think right now, I think I call this World War III what we're in, because the entire world is totally distracted by this. Yeah, so what's happening with Ukraine is an outlier, because there's really nothing else happening in the world. North Korea, there's no kind of foreign policy thing happening anywhere that I know of other than this. The entire world is devoted to defeating the virus, we have to stop this. We have to get everyone vaccinated. So I don't know if they're going to transition out of this, but I've been sick now for almost 2 weeks. So I had something, I don't know. It was certainly wasn't some kind of mysterious virus that I felt threatened by, but still it's not nice. And there's always a little doubt in your mind too.
Right.
Thinking, well, damn, I've been bad mouthing this thing so much and it's going to get me, I'm thinking, won't they have fun with that? It puts plants a seed of doubt in anyone's mind because of it, even though I obviously think I'm impervious to all the propaganda, but as you're talking about going on 2 years here and, well, I'll let Tony bring up what he wants to bring up, then I'll comment off of that.
Yeah, it's like year three almost, right? That we're doing this, and I think you bring up a really good point, Don. Everybody gets worried because, right? It's like, what if I was wrong? What if I get this thing? My wife just tested positive for corona. She was sick. She lost her her sense of smell and her sense of taste. She lost them completely. I've been around her this entire time. I was telling her she didn't have anything. She didn't have corona per se. And I'm fine. Thank the Lord. I haven't tested positive and I did get tested. I'm unvaccinated. She is vaccinated. So she doesn't have a booster, but she had to do it for work, but she did catch it. My sister also caught it. And we were all in the same house together, certain of us were fine, and it just so happens to be the people who were unvaccinated, which was incredible. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying anything. I'm just stating the facts. That's what happened with me and in my household and in my sister's household. And we were all together for the holidays and after that. Thank the Lord, I haven't gotten anything, but It's the way the media has portrayed this. They tend to over-exaggerate things, and they're probably doing it on purpose, right? And they've over-exaggerated the effects of this, not to say that people haven't died and not to say that people are not going to die moving forward, right? People die from just about everything, not necessarily the cold, but the flu. People die from the flu often. So does the virus exist? Yes. Are you going to get sick? Yes. Are you going to die? Probably not. According to their numbers, 97% or 99% recovery rate. So that's what we're looking at here. So, and now they're starting to admit what we've been talking about. Maybe it's not that bad. You know, now it's going to be the flu. They're recategorizing this whole thing. And they're programming our minds in the mainstream. Now it's going to be the flu. As soon as Omicron passes, it's going to be the flu. It's like rebranding. It's like Dairy Queen. It's DQ now. It's not anything else. All right, Tony, take it.
Yeah, the flu took a year off. It went down to Cabo San Lucas. It got tanned and rested. It's back.
Yeah.
Flu shot. No, I think I don't think this completely will go away. But it's like a sitcom that's really big, and then they have spinoffs. There'll be spinoffs, right? And I think Don's right about World War III. We're in World War III right now because this is the governments of the world against their own people, which has really never happened before, not in a coordinated fashion. I look at the issue in Ukraine, which we can discuss too, not because I'm concerned that Russia will invade Ukraine because there's implications for us, because it has nothing to do with us. I'm worried that this is being set up on the grand chessboard as a way to consolidate power. And what I mean by that, you know, the war is the health of the state. And, you know, look at the approval ratings of Joe Biden. What do you do when you have a approval rating lower than Harry Truman at the height of the Korean War? What do you do when you have a populace that's as divided as we are? What do you do when people don't believe institutions and you have millions of people calling out the government narrative and the COVIDian cult and all the things that have been laid out last 2 years and institutions are losing favor? What do? You push those people into a war. That's what history shows us. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm very concerned with these headlines. And if you know anything about what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union, and how we've treated Russia and the promises that we have broken and our expansionist in your face NATO policies there, when NATO is not even do they still have the Warsaw Pact, Don? I mean, there's no Warsaw Pact anymore. Why do we still have NATO?
Exactly.
We have NATO for imperialist reasons. And the Russians know that. They're really, the Russians are backed into a corner at this point, and it makes it look like they're the aggressor, right? But we're the ones it would be like if you know, Mexico had a treaty with China and China said, don't worry, Mexico, if there's any dispute with your borders, if there's any incursion by the U.S., that is a threat and that's a war and we will back you up. That would be that's an existential threat to the United States if that happened. Well, that's the same thing with Ukraine and Russia and right. NATO. And so I'm concerned with the propaganda. I'm concerned with I can see these shifts happening. Just me as a researcher, I can see these shifts happening from, you got the Supreme Court ruling, and yeah, it wasn't a great victory for those of us who didn't want, you know, that wanted no mandate whatsoever, but it's a start. And it looks like, you know, you see the news media, you know, hey, we've got it's not that bad. It's more mild. And some companies are backing off the mandate. Some aren't, you know, Nike said that they're going to double down. GE says they're out. So it's like, and maybe that "Just Do It" slogan that should be rebranded.
Just get it.
Pfizer. Just do it.
Just do it. Just don't question it.
Stop thinking about it. What the hell are you doing?
The Nike swoosh is a spike protein. That's what.
Right, exactly. Right. Get Michael Jordan or somebody. No, we got to update it with the times. Get LeBron James, and he can push it. You know, just do it. Didn't he have some issues with it, right? He said people should choose whether or not they wanted to take it. I think I could be.
Oh, he's canceled.
He played the line. He's LeBron James. You know, he likes Xi Jinping. You know, he's cool with all that other stuff. So whatever. All right, Don Jeffries, go ahead and give Tone what he's been waiting for weeks now. He needs his fix. So go ahead. I'm not gonna stop.
Well, you know, he's certainly right to come up with the analogy of China, you know, defending Mexico and considering it a border and how we would react to that. And so we look at things, American exceptionalism is still there,
right?
To some degree, where we consider, you know, our problems are completely different than the rest of the world. And certainly something like a Russia, where Putin has the same kind of right we would have to worry about what was happening on the border there. And especially they portrayed the Ukraine. I've written so much about the Ukraine with the Bidens and all that stuff that happened. Of course, we know nothing happened under Trump's Justice Department. And to keep in mind, everything, all the stuff that happened, all the stories that broke about that, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, all the, you know, the connections to China, all that stuff was happening when Trump was president under Trump's Justice Department. They did absolutely nothing. So it's never going to happen. It's just more high crimes that, you know, that went unpunished. And Putin obviously knows about all that. And he's, you know, he's kind of taking notes, I'm sure. So I'm not sure. And Putin is hard to figure out because he always kind of has like a bemused look on his face. And I'm you're not nearly sure what he's thinking and how much of a state actor he is. But I would, and Tony mentioned NATO. And again, NATO is something that wasn't that one of the things Donald Trump talked about? What do we need NATO for anymore? You know, all the stuff he said we didn't need, all the great stuff he said.
They have to pay.
They have to pay everything, just like Mexico. You know, and of course, nobody paid for anything. And Trump backtracked on all. And eventually, of course, he became just as much a backer of NATO as anybody else, except for occasional tweets here and there. So all of it really is failed policies of the Trump administration. I have no idea what Biden thinks or anything like that, because there's a lot of Russia that's still there. But I would be surprised, but I could be wrong. You know, Tony observes these things very keenly, so maybe he's more right in tune with it than I am. But I would be surprised if they drop this COVID narrative, at least right for now, because I don't know what the end game is for it. But maybe COVID goes out with a whimper instead of a bang. I don't know. It's possible.
According to the Spars document, that's what's supposed to happen anyway, right? And it seems like they are following that narrative, which scares me for several reasons that I've already mapped out, that we've spoken about before, at least I should say. But go ahead. What's up, Don? I hear you.
Well, no. I mean, I don't know what the end game is, but I think that if they do drop, because the public is so, you know, primed for this fear porn, and you've got them wearing masks and stuff, you've got them, you know, on their knees like they've never been there before, and you've got a divided ever. I mean, typically when they try to raise one of their war adventures, and especially something World War III, it would be an attempt to bring the public together. I mean, I don't know, do the elite want to bring us together? I find that hard to believe at this point when they spend so much time dividing and conquering. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, I have nothing surprises me at this point, but I find it hard to believe, though, that they would drop the World War III they've created with COVID for something like that until they've, you know, reached the end stage, which is, you know, I don't know, international martial law. I really don't know, or mandatory masks for life. Again, I don't know what the end game is here.
Mandatory mask for life. That could be another slogan for some company that wants to push something. So I think, well, at least it appears that they're getting ready to drop the COVID narrative. I'm not fully sure that they're going to do it, at least not completely. I don't think that'll happen completely, but I think a lot of the narrative will be done away with. At least that's the way it's looking. I don't know if it's going to happen, right? As far as the Ukraine, I am not sure they're going to move forward and do this. Like, it's, and I was telling Tone off the air, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. You know, that we hear this stuff over and over and over again, and nothing happens. So I am willing to say that I've been totally conditioned to feel like nothing is going to happen. So I don't think that they're going to move forward with anything. But then again, like Don said, Tone is, you know, this is his area. He's a little bit more in touch than the rest of us about all of this. So if he sees something coming, I think we should pay attention. But we're definitely being primed for something. right? They're not, the narrative is being pushed very strongly now. So they're trying to implant an idea in our brains about this situation for sure. But for what reason is what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if they'll actually go through with it, but there's still some type of reason for that to be there. And I'm not 100 on it. Tone, go ahead. Let's close it out.
Well, even at the height of the Red Scare back in the 50s, there was not that type of anti-Russia narrative that there was in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Russia did this. Russians are under your bed. Russians are controlling your mind. Russia's, you know, stole the election. You know, Vladimir Putin owns Donald Trump. All these things that weren't true. And they ran it. This is the mainstream running it over and over again. And there's a reason for that. You know, you look at Russia getting away from the petrodollar some years ago, and you know, they're basically a debt-free nation. You know, they've recovered from the Soviet era. You know, the economy that they had, the massive failures that they had, they've emerged stronger. And I'm not a Russophile. I say that all the time. I've never been to Russia, but I can see Russia's is a proud nation state. And they're not taking any more crap from the warmongering neocon establishment of the American military industrial complex. And you go back to 1992, there was a famous document called the Wolfowitz Memorandum. And if you read that, it says that the United States could use pretty much any type of force that would be necessary to box in Russia at all costs, that they would never be allowed to be an expansionist power again, or to rival the United States, and that we should have the ability to, you know, use surgical strikes and all the rest. And it was putting Russia as the top list of adversaries. Even after that was during when we were signing treaties with them and opening up negotiations, they still had Russia as at the top of the list. So that's not changed. You know, we've had the adventures in the Middle East, the Crusades, we sunk trillions, we've broken our military, you know, we've done nothing about old treaties that have long since needed to lapse, that are Cold War era. We've got so many tripwires out there. So I'm concerned, and the reason I'm concerned about this narrative, Billy, is because look at somebody like me. How do you neutralize those of us who are against this COVIDian cult narrative and all this and all the overreach that's going on? Well, you start a war. And this is my concern, because you know that across the board, people in an alternative media, people that are pushing back against the vaccine mandate narrative, those people would essentially be anti-war, because we're anti-state. We don't want any more control. We don't want to live in a dystopia. So we're going to naturally be anti-war. That's how you box in those people. Because you can say they're not patriots, you know, right. Those people don't care about the U.S. You know, that's how you go and look at every false flag that we've had. Every start of every modern war, it begins with a lie, right? And in anybody who opposes it is an enemy of the state,
right?
You know, and so like you have the Alien Sedition Act, you have all these things going under Woodrow Wilson. You have going after anybody who was anti-war and imprisoning people. I just, that's my concern, just from my history as a veteran and what I read about foreign policy and knowing the history leading up to this. So I am concerned that they're literally building it. They're building the narrative. Now, what is that for? Again, the jury's still out. I'm not 100%. I'm not saying this is going to happen. Just stay, you know, stay frosty, as I tell my audience.
Absolutely, man. You know, keep your eyes out for it. Right. And, I want to ask you guys a question based on what we've been talking about, right? Because you hear it often here in alternative circles that these countries that that the United States, you know, opposes so heavily are refuse to join, right, the New World Order agenda, right, or refuse to be a part of whatever, you know, globalism or I don't know. Right, the Illuminati, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, right? Russia seems to be one of those countries. Like Venezuela is another one, and the United States hates Venezuela. You know, Iran. You know, North Korea seems like the worst to me. You know, so I think I think I understand why there, but a lot of this, in my opinion, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, seems to be, you know, that the United States doesn't like the way these countries operate politically, you know, or economically. And since they won't become a part of the New World Order agenda, that's why they're trying to cut them off and paint them as evil. Does this make sense to you, Tone?
Absolutely. That's 100% what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has everything to do with central banking.
Right.
The dollar is the world's reserve currency, the petrodollar, fiat currency. This is all tied together. And the United States is the hub, the central hub for the New World Order. I mean, we like to think as the NWO is something that's other than America. No, America is controlled by globalist forces. It's controlled by the central banksters. That's right. That's our present reality, like it or not.
Right.
And Russia is not. Now, Russia's authoritarian. They've got their own vax. They've got their own problems. Okay. I'm not, again, sticking up for them, but they are a proud nation state that's not part. They're not doing mass immigration. Russia's not doing population replacement. Russia is also not taking part in the social reengineering of society.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it. They don't. Right. There is no cultural revolution in Russia. That just gets smacked down. So, you know, Western nations across, I mean, whether you're Australia, Canada, the United States, Great Britain, they're all taking part in the same narrative. They all say the same slogans. They go through the Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum schools, but Russia does not. So, you know, that's when you start worrying, like, okay, so are they going to take on Russia to, you know, consolidate more power?
Right.
You know, and is this just a way, is, you know, maybe Don will shed some light on this. You know, you look at the 19th century thinker, Thomas Malthus, who's, you know, that's who you think of when you think of population control.
Right.
You think of Thomas Malthus. And I just wonder, you know, is this, he had three ways of population control. It was famine, pestilence, and war.
Mm.
And that's what he thought. Well, that's the kind of the trifecta. That's what you use to keep the pop. Thomas Malthus thought that if we didn't do everything we could to reduce population, that there would be mass starvation. Of course, he didn't foresee the Industrial Revolution and technology and all the rest that were able to feed all the people. And he thought, well, this is something we, for their own good, we have to depopulate. We have to, you know, call out population growth. And part of population control is war. And, you know, we're 80 years away from the last great war. There's 50 million dead. And if you look at studies like the Fourth Turning that came out in the 90s, that Strauss and Howe, they talked about how there was a fourth turning, a great turning every 80 years, basically the life of a person.
Yeah.
We're 80 years away. So this is, we're in a fourth turning right now, which is massive societal changes that could be and almost always are followed by a war, a cataclysmic type war. It remakes society and you start all over again.
Very interesting. What's up, Don? What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, certainly Tony is very obviously astute on all these subjects. And Malthus was a very influential figure. And probably, I guess you could say he, along with Darwin in evolution, is responsible for the rise in eugenicism in terms of belief all over the world. I mean, all our leaders. And I think that's what, if you look at, I don't think Vladimir Putin strikes me as any kind of eugenicist. I'd be very, you know, surprised if he agreed with anything Malthus ever said, or if he even believes in evolution. I think he's still paying the Russians to have babies. I mean, yeah. That's a repudiation of the international mantra all over the world, is that, you know, that there are too many people. We have to scale this back, and that birth is a dire thing. You know, this is a terrible, one of the great tragedies of life is having babies. And this is why America has such a strange cultural phenomenon here, where we're bringing in all this cheap labor from South and Central America, but it's a very Catholic part of the world, and they are extremely pro-life, and every birth there is a celebration. And that completely, I mean, maybe once they get here for a generation or two, then they buy into it. But when they're coming across the border, so, you know, it's a delicate balancing act for our leaders who are pro-death all the way. and to be, but they also want that pro, that cheap labor. So maybe they're willing to do it there. But I think that Putin, everything I've heard him say, I pretty much agree with. And I say, wow, he sounds much better than our own leaders. He's banned GMO foods. He put out an arrest warrant for any Rothschilds that enter the country. he's basically publicly said the government killed Kennedy. And so he's, you know, and there are rumors that he was going to try to expose the moon landing hoax. I don't know if that's true or not, but I guess it would just add to his, repertoire with the establishment or something. So, I don't know how he could not be a state actor, but at least he's playing a more convincing part than Trump did, for instance.
I didn't know that he banned the Rothschilds. He's like, yo, if any Rothschild comes in here, arrest them immediately.
He said George Soros dead or alive.
Did he really?
Yeah. He put out a yes. I'll have to verify that, but I'm pretty sure I've read that in two or three different sources. That was like, George Soros is not allowed there. He's allowed here, right? He can put those pallets of bricks out, you know, those people flying the Antifa coast to coast.
Yeah.
But he's not allowed in Russia.
Amazing. That's amazing. Well, this is all stuff we need to look at when they start talking about, you know, the boogeyman and how evil Vladimir Putin is. You know, I'm not saying that he's a good dude. But I don't know. You know, I'm just being subjected to whatever the propaganda here in the United States is. Yeah. But we need to look at what these people do that is effective and good. Like I remember back in the day with Fidel Castro, who is, you know, probably not a good guy or was not a good guy. But, you know, he had 99% literacy in that country. The best doctors came out of Cuba. You know, maybe, you know, we can look at that and say, what are they doing there in that area and take that and adjust it. I mean, and incorporate it into what we're doing here. We don't have 99% literacy here in the United States, the richest country in the world. How are they able to pull it off? You know, and how can we incorporate that here? So, I mean, we need to not get triggered. And I know it's very difficult. I get triggered all the time. But we need to not get triggered by these things and actually analyze it and look to see what they're doing that's good. And if Vladimir Putin is doing those things, those are good things. And I'd like to see a ban on the Rothschilds here in the United States. That'd be amazing. Like whomever proposed that, I might vote for them just based on that. Just all right, cool. Right. Like let me do it. I'm with it. This guy has to be together for it in some way, shape, or form. Now. Apparently they're staging walkouts here in Chicago and in Boston. Schools are staging walkouts because they don't want in-person classes. They want to go remote, right? So that agenda is still there, right? There are a shortage of substitute teachers, a shortage of nurses in the hospitals, you know, probably because of these vaccine mandates, you know, that they're not addressing it as such. They're just saying there are shortages. We have no idea why, you know, why is this happening? Where are these people? It's Omicron, which is not deadly and people get over. But then they're telling people, hey, you can come in and work even if you're positive with Omicron. The mixed messaging is crazy. What are you thinking, Tone?
Well, the message is going to continue as long as it's politically viable for the ruling class, as long as they can still use it. And it's used for division. It's used for the controlled demolition of our economy to pick winners and losers. They want to, I think, completely control the supply chain. They want to control those who control the supply chain. That's what's been going on since 2020. I don't know where it goes other than the damage. You know, the Supreme Court can rule that there's no mandates for regular companies outside of healthcare workers. And I guess that's all well and good. Not that it was ever, that should never have gone to the Supreme Court, but let's just take that for, you know, I guess a partial win, but the damage has pretty much been done. You know, we've changed behavior. You know, that's really the only science in this entire thing has been behavioral science. You know, where we've watched how people react and this has been an experiment to see, you know, if you could divide people, and it's all political. I was looking at a tweet and it was like, it was from Occupy Democrats, and it was saying, we stand with Nike, Nike standing firm. Like they were happy that Nike was pushing the mandate. And there's like Republicans trying to stop this, trying to stop mandates. I'm like, so this is so the Republicans give you the shot, and then the Democrats want the mandates, but you get the shot and the mandates either way. And so they're saying it's really brilliant. And they have how they've said it. It's like, if you're of the left, you have to be for the mandates. If you're of the right, you have to love the shots because Trump did them, but you also don't want them. It's just bizarre. So they've remade society in a lot of ways. I don't know. They'll keep using it because it's all part of the siege warfare, you know, and Don's right. This is World War III. Now, exposing that and getting people out of that mindset where, you know, this is our reality 10 years ago, where there's other nation states and people threaten us. No, it's all the governments. The governments are the ones controlling it. Well, that's what you have to watch out for. I don't know how long it'll go on, Billy, but I watched a clip the other day. Yale is saying, Yale and Princeton, you can't leave the counties.
Jesus.
If you go to school there. So you pay $100,000 to go get this, this piece of paper from one of these useless universities where you don't learn anything. And that's the cream of the crop. So the future leaders of this country, all the lawyers and the Supreme Court justices and all the, you know, future right wing, because, you know, if you notice, all the right wing heroes all went to Yale.
Yeah.
All there are like Ted Cruz or something. They all these approved,
George Bush
or Dan Crenshaw went to Harvard, you know, and it's like all the same people go the same. They're all groomed. And so that's where you get these new crop of people. They all go to these Ivy League institutions and they're like, oh, I can't leave the county because I might get the cold. I mean, these are the people that they're they're giving us and they're making. And so it's more division. And I think that the regular people are pulling away. So where this goes, I don't know. But I think more and more people are pulling away from the reality that we knew. And the institutions that we respected and looked to be authorities, those are falling away.
Right, man. Are we living in The Sims? You know, when seriously, at this point, I really don't even know. Like when somebody's just sitting and analyzing everything it is we do. For you people that can't leave Yale and you're watching America Unplugged, you can't leave the district. I feel sorry for you. Listen, here's what you do. Okay. There are several secret societies there. Just go sit down in front and see what you see. Listen, go sit down in front of the tomb and take pictures of who's walking in and out of there. Because if they're walking in and out of there, there are tombs. They're bonesmen. That's just bonesmen, it. So please, please do that for us. Also, Book and Snake is over there. Wolf's Head is over there. And then Scroll and Key, they're all beautiful. Just sit in front of there. You can't leave. You can't do anything. So after you've done your homework, you know, because you don't want to get the cold. Just sit in front of there and take pictures. Send them to America Unplugged, the Infinite Fringe @gmail.com. We would love to see it, and we will shout you out. I know this is not going to happen, but still, you got to put it out there. That's crazy. I didn't hear that.
Any that, pictures of me though? Any pictures of me going in there? Please delete.
Yes, any pictures of Tony Atterburn walking into the tomb? Send them to me, but I'll delete them. You know,
I just got to go in for Geronimo's bones. I got to go pick him up.
Do you believe? Yeah. Do you believe that narrative that Geronimo's skull is in there? I know George Bush. He was involved in possibly digging it up. They said they have Che Guevara's watch in there. Tons of other shit. You know that they've dug up in order to become members of this stuff. Do you believe that? I'm gonna go to Tony first.
Absolutely.
Really?
I think that's totally possible. Yeah, I mean, you have these privileged kids from these dynasty, you know, families of wealth that goes back generation upon generation. I mean, they're above the law in many ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like the perfect kind of prank or challenge or whatever. I mean, you know, you should keep the secrets of another bonesman. I mean, if you read about that, I mean, that seems pretty cool. I don't know. That's believable to me.
I believe it. No, I absolutely believe it.
It's the same people that go and worship a 50-foot owl.
Right.
You know, in California, the Moloch, you know, so, I mean, at Bohemian Grove. So, yeah.
No, I absolutely believe that these things are there, you know, but I don't know if, you know, it's just me wanting to believe. Don, do you believe it?
Well, certainly, I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah, and the... as Tony mentioned, they are above the law, because that's, I mean, how would you get to, Geronimo, you're talking about the kind of, especially in our politically correct culture, that would almost be considered a hate crime, wouldn't it? Stealing his skull? How did you do that? Some white frat boys from incredibly wealthy families stole that. Che Guevara's watch. How did they get his watch? They had to break into his grave. I mean, so if this is the case, Harold, but these are the kind of crimes that get covered up because they are at the top of the level. We know that the law doesn't deal with those people. And anybody that goes to Yale or Harvard or any Ivy League university, the statistics I cited in Survival of the Richest are, I'm sure, have gotten only worse and not better since then. But if I remember correctly, I think it was only 3% of the students that go to the top 150 colleges in the United States. And certainly I would say there's probably 0% at all the Ivy League universities come from the bottom quarter income level wise in the United States, in the bottom quarter. And there is absolutely no upward mobility there, and nothing shows it more than our educational system, because some people in the bottom quarter can go to a community college or a college that doesn't have a good reputation where the degree is not going to be worth anything. But if you get a degree from a college that is worth something, where somebody looks at the degree, Yale, and they don't really care what you get the degree in, I have a Yale, it's a big deal, right? Those people are always wealthy to begin with, every time. And the 3% across board, probably all, athletes that snuck in to play ball. There's nobody being recruited from those poorer sections because they want them there as a student. Just not happening. So that's of course become exacerbated during this lockdown and everything. But yeah, it's frightening, and that's part of the conspiracy world that is real out there, and people kind of poo-poo, but it's true. The Bonesmen, we have people that mainstream books that talk about, they have to go into, they have to sit in a coffin naked and masturbate while they recite their sexual history. I mean, that's just bizarre. I don't know why I wouldn't want to be in a club like that. I mean, if I knew that was the, but it's very similar to what you see with the rituals for Freemasonry, the same kind of thing. Why do they have to draw blood, against the bare breast with a sword at a certain level? I mean, just, the ominous, oaths about how I promise to keep the secrets. Otherwise my tongue will be torn out and thrown into high tide and all that. And that's the first oath they take when they join the Masons. So even if it's just symbolic, I wouldn't want to be in a club like that. And I think it's important that we know about these secret societies. And unfortunately, you look around, you remember when George W. Bush was running against John Kerry, and I think it was Tim Russert, basically kind of brought it up.
Yeah.
And they both kind of scoffed and laughed and everything. Of course, Russert wasn't going to push it at all, but it's a very interesting point, isn't it? Is it, and how many other people out there? We know there are tons of these Bonesmen, and one of their quaint rituals is supposedly, I think when they get married, they're sent like a genuine grandfather clock or something by the organization.
Yeah, everybody has Bonesman one. Is. Right.
Everybody has one. So, I mean, it's, these are all part of the old boy network, which I don't know how much longer the old boy network's going to be there, but while it's there, it's interesting, but it's certainly, shows that, as Tony said, they're above the law, and it shows how what a privileged caste system we have at the top.
I remember Tim Russert saying, Skull and Bones, 322, they were like, well, it's a secret. And like, oh, so you can't talk about it? No, I can't talk about it because it's a secret. That's what John Kerry said, and George Bush. He was like, yeah, well, it's a secret, so I can't talk about it. And that was it. That was the end of it. Okay, no problem. If it's a secret, it doesn't matter that you guys are running for president and one of you is going to run the country. You can have secret oaths. It's not a problem. We're going to let that slide. That's what one of the main things that did it for me about the mainstream media. I mean, that's easy. That's a gimme right there. But like, it's a secret. I'm like, well, I'm like, you're running for the presidency of the United States. You have to represent all these people. Shouldn't they want to know? Shouldn't they have to know? Isn't there a need for them to know if you have pledged your allegiance to a different organization that doesn't have the best interest of the United States in their minds, right? In their goals. And I mean, it's a really easy question to ask. And it wasn't. They just laughed and kept it right on moving. For me, if I was ever recruited for Skull and Bones, and that would have never happened. My blood is not blue enough, if it's blue at all. Right. But, they bring me in and I'm in the tomb. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then they're like, yeah, lay in that coffin. You're going to jerk off and tell me your secrets. I'm like, all right, guys. It's been real. Thank you very much. And I would just walk right out of there, you know, and that's enough for me. These people stick around and they do these things and they have compromising stories. Everybody knows everything about everyone. So you can't screw anybody over because they're going to reveal it. Right. And this is where they do their biggest debaucheries. Right. Not that it's an issue overall, but it's an issue when people deny it to themselves or whatever, like George Bush bringing in dudes overnight, male escorts to the White House. Like, come on, bro, what are you doing? You know, I think Obama did the same thing. You know, like, I mean, they signed in, they never signed out. I remember Jeff Gannon, militarystud.com.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they would, you know, they did this. So why are you bringing these people in there? You know, why are you doing that? And why didn't they leave? You know, why did they spend the night? They deny it to the people, you know, and then, you know, I think this is all part of being compromised. And how many of them are probably, you know, doing all kinds of crap with little kids. And then this is where it comes from. Everybody knows everything about everyone. So you're freaking screwed. I think that's the overall goal of these, of being a part of these secret societies. And like you said, Don, like, I mean, you have to have dough, right? They give you money to begin with, and then you pay money into, I think it's the Russell Trust, right? For Skull and Bones. Like you continue to pay money into that and they give you this grandfather clock that's worth like $300,000, right? Everybody has one. I remember Charlotte Israby talking about it, that she had one in her attic when her dad died or whatever. Anyway, this is the American elite. These are the people that run our lives, and this is why we're in the position that we're in, quite frankly. Tone, what's up before we get out of here?
Yeah, great job, guys. They did a wonderful job. And you left out the part where you have to tie a ribbon around your genitals before you get in the car. So they're also decorative. They pay attention to detail. You know, the origins of all their rituals are German. And, of course, that has ties to the Bavarian Illuminati.
Right.
So there's a difference between like Freemasonry and the Illuminati at a certain level. Freemasonry was a completely different historical lineage, and the Illuminati infiltrated. And that's really the Illuminati is in my study is what prevails through all secret societies. Now, they found a way to infiltrate and to mirror them. And that's what we're looking at when you look at like a Skull and Bones. And the elite certainly use their clubs and their institutions, and they're all alike. You know, Gore Vidal said that, and I always laugh when I hear the quote. He's like, it's not so much as a conspiracy as that they all think alike. You know, like the president of Chase Manhattan Bank is not different from the Secretary of State. You know, like they're all right. Go to the same school, same clubs. So that's what I think, those institutions are crumbling. That's my concern. I think that there's been too many people like us and Don Jeffries who have exposed these truths for decades now, and it's starting to hit critical mass. That's an achievement, but it's also a cause for concern because people don't look at institutions, schools, government the way they used to, especially after the last couple of years. So my warning and what's been weighing on my conscience is the threat of war.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen. Don Jeffries, we're closing out. What's going on?
Yeah, no, great discussion, and it's always good to talk conspiracies, and it's nice to get off the COVID train for a minute and just kind of realize maybe this is the atmosphere in which the greatest psyop in the history of the world was created, out of all this history of all these really incredible things going back to, as Tony mentioned, the Illuminati, which, you know, crimes and cover-ups. I went through all that, and I have quotes from why happened. This is not a myth. This is a real organization. Now you can debate what happened to it afterwards, but I think if you're looking for a suspect who's at the top of the chain that orchestrates the Masons and the Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Grove and the Bilderbergers and all that, I think the Illuminati is as good a candidate as any. That there's an executive board or whatever at the top that directs all these things, and something does. There's a coordinating presence there.
Absolutely,
there's no question about it. Those of us who have studied this long enough, you're not a conspiracy theorist. As Gore Vidal said, he was a conspiracy analyst. And that's what I consider myself.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gents. We're getting up out of here. It's America Unplugged. Tony Atterburn, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Atterburn.news is my website, and I'm on aftermath.fm, 3 p.m. Central Time on weekdays for the Atterburn radio transmission. And, of course, right here every Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time with the great Don Jeffries and the legendary Billy Ray Valentine.
Damn, I think you got that mixed up. It's the legendary.
I mixed it up on purpose. I'm going to start rotating it.
All right, cool. I'll take it this time. What's going on, Don Jeffries? Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at DonaldJeffries.news or DonaldJeffries.media. The Donald Jeffries Show airs every Wednesday on Ocelli.com. And later I air here and airs on Rentz as well. It's live Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I Protest, which is on Aftermath FM now every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the great Tony Atterburn is involved in helping me with that. We're going to try to get that back up and running and properly here, hopefully next week. And get by the last place. My newest book, Armbarred Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World, is out there. It's getting a lot of buzz. So hopefully, people are checking that out as well.
Fantastic. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, Billy the Kid. Go check out my newest episode of The Infinite Fringe, where we talk about Robert Malone. How maybe he's not what they're painting him out to be. So go check that out with Mark from Houston Tonic Live. That's over at theinfinitefringe.podbeam.com or The Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcast. And of course, America Unplugged, you guys know the deal. We're getting up out of here, okay? Take it easy. Thanks for hanging with us. Gammy, what's up, buddy? How you doing? All right, we're out of here. See you guys next week, Lord willing.